With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
WrestleMP.
Oh, we started recording and we've not really agreed which show we're going to be doing first. So this could start on a Patreon and end up on the main feed. You just don't know with us.
We are very much in what they call in podcasting, the worst possible scenario. Where you run a Patreon and a regular feed,
yes.
And you run out of episodes for both.
Yes.
So what you have to do is you have to record both of those sets in one go because otherwise time runs out.
Yes.
What you then get is you get WrestleMania 32, which is, let me tell you, Pete, I made the mistake of seeing that you were watching it on the network. And I thought, Do you know what? I don't want to interrupt Pete because it's annoying to find out what you want.
You are very much the owner of that channel.
I thought to myself, do you know what I'll do? I'll watch the pre-show. That'll be a nice build-up. 7 hours in total.
Seven hours. Why did they think that was acceptable?
I am genuinely furious about it. I'm furious about it. I went straight back and I was like, what is the shortest WWE pay-per-view?
Yeah.
And I think Backlash 2006 is 2 hours and 13 minutes or something.
Right.
Long
enough.
How do you drop the ball so badly that you have... If one of the matches had gone for an hour and 55 minutes, they'd have gone, that was mental. The show, you have to get that right too.
I look at the whole, how many people are on the, you know, on the card, and you look at the timings, you know, even the pre-show, Kalisto defeating Ryback and, you know, all that stuff. And then some total teams. All the matches, like a lot of the matches are in 10 minutes.
Yep.
So how has it become 7 hours? How have they done this?
I tell you what, the worst thing they do as well is... should we do WrestleMania 32?
Shall we do WrestleMania 32? It looks like what we're doing. Hello to the main feed. We do have a Patreon where we'll be less annoyed about it, to be quite frank.
Yeah.
We're doing Halloween Havoc 91.
Yes, which oddly, I mean, I watched it after I'd watched this.
Yeah,
and let
here.
Me tell you, I started watching this at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And just through the sort of the going to get a cup of tea or having a wee or sitting down having some lunch,
yeah.
I didn't finish this until 10 to 8 at night, right? And it wasn't like I did anything else. I stayed in my dressing gown all day watching this, right?
Like an unemployed man, which we are. We do a wrestling podcast. Yeah. We're unemployed men.
At 8 p.m, I'm like, I've got to watch fucking Halloween Havoc now. I'd say by 10 past 8, I was going, I'm quite enjoying this.
Yeah. Back on top. Honestly, it was such a great kind of finisher to what was, I mean, just unspeakable.
The last
fraff.
I was going to say the last bit. It's not a bit.
It's not
the last, I would say, two hours of this show is absolutely inexcusable. It's indefensible. It's there's nothing bad on this show, but this is a bad show.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's weaker than the sum of all of its parts and all of the other parts in the Hall of Wrestling.
I'll tell you, you mentioned like short matches like Ryback versus Kalisto.
Mm.
Having watched that, that is one of my favourite matches in it. And it was slightly because it didn't go for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
It didn't just drag. There wasn't another one that went for 25 minutes after it.
Yeah.
It was a funny little match where Ryback threw around a little man, did a great bit where he lifted him above his head and then walked up the ring steps with him.
Oh,
really enjoyable.
Lovely.
But that was about, I don't know, 7 minutes long.
Mm.
And I watched that and didn't go, oh, that was a bit quick.
Yeah.
I went, that was a decent time for a match I don't care about.
Yes.
There are a lot of matches I don't care about on here.
They're half an hour.
For a lot longer. Absolutely. Awful.
And then you went and finished the Patreon newsletter as well.
I don't think that I wasn't doing that from Friday night, right? I was like, Friday night, I was thinking, well, I've been doing it during the month. I might get it done tonight.
Working on a TV show.
All of Saturday.
Have you worked on two TV shows concurrently?
Yep.
And he's had to watch a 7-hour wrestling show. And he's had to write what can only be described as a girthy newsletter.
I would say it's been 10 days since I had more than 5 hours sleep at night.
And Mark,
I'm feeling it, guy.
I'm feeling it. But you're not looking it, and that's the main thing. I have to give a plug to the Patreon newsletter because it's so fucking good. It's out now. Check it out, patreon.com/wrestleme. It is so bloody good.
You did sort of do a nice tweet about my fictional conversation with the ghost of Big Daddy,
explaining a podcast and what a podcast is and what mobile phones are to Big Daddy.
Yeah,
made me laugh more. And again, I've not had time because of this and the ensuing Patreon shows. I've not had time to read the rest of the newsletter. I've only just got up to the point where you've just told Big Daddy about podcasts.
That is the best bit.
Because we've talked about Big Daddy a bit,
yeah,
and his relationship with Jimmy Savile, weirdly. Mm. But Big Daddy, it makes me laugh that Big Daddy, nobody really talks about what a stupid fucking name he has.
Yeah.
He has a really silly name, doesn't he?
It is a silly name, but it's also, it's the sort of lead sort of bad guy, if you like, in Tennessee Williams' Streetcar called Desire.
That's right, yes.
Big Daddy. Big Daddy. It's that sort of dated reference that in like, I think he first became Big Daddy in around 73, 74.
Right.
And so at that time, it wasn't as far away in the past. So people might have gone, oh, Big Daddy, like the sexy big guy from that Tennessee Williams play. I shouldn't think there are a lot of wrestling fans at the time thinking that. Oh, he's a Big Daddy. That's what they'd be thinking. And I mean, he is.
And he's facing off against Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Cat Weasel and Big Daddy did team up. And I wonder if anyone sort of came up to them afterwards and just went, I see what you did there. And Big Daddy went, oh, keep your literary illusions to yourself. I am a huge Big Daddy fan, only because, as I explained in the newsletter,
he was bad at his job.
He is bad at his job, but I met him, and he was really super nice, and he was really super lovely. I mean, he doesn't deserve having a fictionalized version of a conversation with me and his ghost.
No, he didn't deserve that.
But he's so interesting. And there's a bit of controversy about him right at the moment because the Wrestling Observer are building up for their Hall of Fame.
Right.
And the Hall of Fame in the Wrestling Observer, which is an American newsletter, is the only wrestling Hall of Fame that counts, really.
Yeah.
You've got the Cauliflower Alley Hall of Fame, which is a physical sort of a thing that all the wrestlers go to a big sort of dinner for.
Mm.
But the Wrestling Observer is really the one that the experts and the wrestlers themselves vote on. And there is no one in the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame who doesn't deserve to be there.
Mm.
Chris Benoit is in it. And
yeah,
they even, when the crimes against him became clear, they had a vote, like a proper Hall of Fame would, to say, should he be removed?
Right.
And you had to pass a 60% threshold that people said, yes, he should be removed, as they do, I think, in the, you know, the NFL Hall of Fame.
Right, okay.
And he wasn't removed, but he does have an asterisk against his name.
Real
it does
shit.
Say, due to his crimes, there was a vote, but it was decided, you know, it was voted to keep him in.
Now, surely that absolutely monks off the whole Hall of Fame, though. Good. We did have a vote, and it turns out we're dreadful.
Well, like, yeah.
We can't separate the man from his heart.
I mean, what they're doing is they're going, this is a real Hall of Fame. We deal with this in the way that a business would deal with it, by asking wrestling fans what should happen. the big controversy at the minute is Big Daddy going in.
Right.
And in America, of course, Big Daddy has no profile whatsoever. Right. And they just, you know, if you saw a video of his matches, you would go, this guy is, I mean, this guy not only shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, every trace of this man should be destroyed. Big Daddy was not a, he's not a good wrestler.
Right.
He was a good performer. He was unbelievably popular, and he was such a big cultural icon in Britain.
Yeah.
Do you remember him? Because you're a little bit younger
than
me.
Yeah, I do remember the idea. Yeah. Big Daddy was very much, he would do adverts and stuff. I seem to recall. But it was like, I didn't really know what he was. Like
no.
a giant, his is weirdly connected more.
Yeah.
With me.
Yeah. I think, you know, Haystacks had, I don't know, but Big Daddy was a sort of difficult one. He was like the honey monster, essentially.
Yes.
He just didn't really know what he was. I liked Big Daddy, but I didn't like wrestling, which I think is sort of tells you how big he was in the culture. And he, you know, he was on This Is Your Life. You could walk down the street and you could say to anyone, Big Daddy, and they would go, what the wrestler?
Yeah.
You know, it's a thing that doesn't translate. So there's a certain
contingent.
Not well-read
to the British.
There's a contingent of people who are from Britain who say, of course, Big Daddy deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Mm.
But everyone else from around the world and some British people are like, well, no, of course he shouldn't be because it's a wrestling Hall of Fame and he was a bad wrestler. He is a bad wrestler, but he was also a good pro wrestler.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if with the Chris, I mean, yeah, if Chris Benoit's in there, good wrestler, But
issues.
Issues.
Maybe they should have an asterisk against Big Daddy's name.
Yeah.
That says he was voted in, but he was so shit at this.
Dog shit.
He's a sort of magic character. I find him unknowable and strange. And I did read a biography of him that came out a few years ago, and you really learn nothing about him.
No.
His motivation.
I think he
was a great big sort of teddy bear of a man.
Yeah.
His brother Max Crabtree did run Joint Promotions, the biggest sort of British wrestling conglomeration of sort of territories.
Yeah.
And that was partly the reason why Big Daddy was pushed so hard, was because Max knew he could rely on his own brother not to do him over, you know, not to jump ship, not turn up. And the problem with that is the nepotism kept him at the top, and no one else came through.
No.
So slightly in a way, you could say he destroyed the British wrestling industry. There's lots of things. But yeah, look, Big Daddy, the best. I talk about him in the newsletter about when I met him. And that's from the heart. And then I meet his ghost. And that is very much something I enjoyed writing.
It was very much enjoyed by me, and it will continue to be enjoyed by me, because I have taken the wrestling, your wrestling pigeon, Pat Patterson wrestling newsletter, and put it on my iPad and read it in the bath. So if I get electrocuted, a very small degree.
Yeah. There is a picture in there that I put in. It's quite about 2/3 of the way through, and it is pretty much just there to make you laugh.
Okay, cool.
And I know you'll love it.
Good. I very much enjoyed also The Rock doing a move on the COVID virus as well.
Was a good picture. Twitter is amazing. These things come up, and something like that picture, which is Rock giving the smackdown to the COVID-19 virus in the form of a wrestler. I mean, it's really well drawn.
Mm.
But something like that, for like a day, it was all over my feed. Couldn't move without it.
Yeah.
It's difficult to find now. You just sort of, these things just go.
Yeah, well, I think it was from like a book or something? Because a lot of, there was a COVID-19 kind of sexy novel, like a sexy romantic novel. Because people just write this trash, and they release them as e-books, but they have releases on Amazon, so you can actually download them on your Kindle for like 99 pence or something. And it's just trash. And all they've done is copied. They've got a sexy novel, and they've just control F and replaced every reference to Farquaad to COVID
or Viola. Triceratops.
Exactly. Yeah. So all that shit, and then somebody makes some fucking unspeakable kind of, looks like a kind of meme
cover
to it, and obviously that gets some cheap heat, and they make 50 quid out of it. Well done, that's a night's work. Good. So it was very much, it looked like that. It looked like an erotic kind of.
There is something that I was thinking about this. Sometimes when I sort of, I'll jot a story down and I forget to like save the image, and when I try and go back to it, it's gone. I sort of go, how do I even begin to find this?
Yeah, and keywords especially, it's really hard, especially because wrestlers aren't frequently named after other stuff as well.
And like that image, the second that Rock actually got COVID, that image is way down somewhere, even if it isn't called like S4782.jpg.
Because it's a news story that is trying to take it seriously, because The Rock isn't very well.
Yeah.
You can't find it again because they're never going to use it.
No, of course not.
Well, to be honest, he got a smackdown from the COVID virus.
Did.
So the picture would have to be flipped over.
Yeah, he did.
It was,
like all wrestling things, a story doesn't tell the whole picture of the match. I was thinking about this the other day, but I was thinking there's going to be a whole generation of people who are continually doing what. Do you remember when people used to sort of go, do you remember there was a TV show, slightly pre-internet? Mm. Do you remember there was a TV show and it had like, there was a Bob Mills fun fair, and the kids had to get to the top of the fun fair.
Right.
Everyone would go, oh, I sort of half remember that.
Yeah.
I think this generation could be doing it like every, like
3 days,
6 hours.
What was Pizza Rat? Who was the bloke who sang Chocolate Rain?
Who was the guy giving the elbow drop to the COVID? It was Blue. I don't know. It's just, I do feel for people, and I also feel for me.
Yes, because you have to write newsletters.
That is true.
Do check it out, patreon.com/wrestlemeet. It's very good, and the extra shows on Halloween Havoc will be better than this one because we are less angry.
Yeah, this is WrestleMania 32, the 3rd of April 2016.
Mm.
That panicked me when I saw it. I thought, gosh, we are really running out of
this. Adverts for 4G in here. I'm like, they've baked them into the WWE network, they've kept the adverts, and I'm like, that's an advert for 4G.
Yeah.
It's going to be 5G soon, isn't it?
They are catching us up somehow in the past. But this was AT&T Stadium in Texas.
Mm.
It was the largest WrestleMania attendance in history with 101,763 fans.
No.
What do we know? About WWE attendances at WrestleMania?
They are frequently Incorrect. As I open, right. open a non-beer.
That was almost like the end of a Coke advert. Like, that's the outline. Well, yeah. I mean, the problem that WWE did with this WrestleMania is they really, really, really pushed the fact.
Covered in Coke.
You've poured it down yourself.
Oh,
they really promoted the fact that they were going to have a six-figure attendance.
Right.
And they started doing that on television. There's a slight, I think it's quite an American thing as well to kind of go, if I say it, it will happen.
Yes, if you build it, it'll come. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what they never think of is they think, but how will I look?
How many school children
if this doesn't
do
work?
I have to invite?
Well, what happens is Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer says the
Bullshit.
Figure of 101,000 is, he said it was actually 93,730.
And still
like,
good.
Like
still
they did
good.
At SummerSlam 92 when they inflated the attendance, but they'd also overinflated WrestleMania 3. So SummerSlam 92 was the biggest crowd of all time.
Yeah.
But they couldn't say it because they'd lied
they'd
about WrestleMania
lied about the first
3.
Time, yes, it wasn't an achievement.
And this one is the legitimate biggest attended WWE event of all time.
And the quartet is still a lie.
Yep. And they still had to lie about it. So
they had to blow
thing.
Up a few, the front gates of a few super prisons in the area. Yeah. So they would, all the criminals would flood in, watch some WrestleMania.
Well, Vince McMahon, 6 months later, did an investors call and he said, I understand that other figures are going around. He said, but my 101,763 people in attendance, he said, I actually factored in the ushers, the ticket takers, and anyone else in the building, which also included WWE personnel. And then
that's
Dave
not
Meltzer,
how tickets work. No, you're right. Losing money if you're counting them as people, like at a football match, stewards are costing the club money.
Yeah.
They exactly. can't work, they can't factor
and
in
you,
that.
And you cannot say that someone who is standing in security at the toilets, who is employed by the venue, is a WWE fan.
No.
You'd be like, I see.
Not
you're...
after fucking looking after them for the whole day. Yeah. For 7 hours.
I see you're a fan of WWE, Taylor Swift, Little Mix. You know, I'm just here, mate. I'm just here.
I like popcorn.
Even better than that, Dave Meltzer then came back and said, no. He said, even if you factor all those people in, he said, then the figure is 97,769. That does mean there's about 3,500 people who are ushers
and crew and stuff like that.
But Meltzer is still like, no, it's still
no,
not
it's
the number you've
fine.
Given.
You don't have 7,000 people working a venue. That's mental. No.
Now, the other thing about this one, Pete, I don't know if you noticed this. This WrestleMania was the actual WrestleMania on itself is 5 fucking hours long, right? And that is just insane.
Unspeakable.
With the pre-show, you get 7 hours. Now, I did watch the pre-show. I know you haven't seen it. But there's a couple of sort of interesting bits. The Ryback match with Kalisto, which Kalisto won. Classic sort of big man, small man match. There is very, very few people in the stadium for it. And it slightly fills as the match goes on. But there were massive problems with getting people into the building. They'd had an electronic fault, which meant the doors opened, I think, only 40 minutes before bell time.
Right.
And then they hadn't told people that they couldn't like go into sort of areas. They had to be A, B or C. And if they were queuing in B, they wouldn't then put them through to A. They go, no, you have to go round again. So there's no one in the arena when sort of Ryback really first comes out. It's about sort of an eighth full. And it really quickly becomes sort of half full.
Right.
There were reports that a lot of fans tried to force their way in. Through the doors, and they had lots of difficulty with security. There was lots of tackling.
2 hours from the end, they found out who was going to be headlining. Again, we get to force them away out.
You've got to go out through your. Let me out!
I don't want to look at Triple H.
There is a referee in this match who is just completely teak, which is amazing. He's got much too much of a tan.
Yes,
but it's exactly the same colour as his hair.
Nice,
and
it just
suddenly goes into. He looks like Groot. It's amazing. Really, really pleasing. This match is only short. I think it's about 7 minutes long. They still go to a commercial break in the middle of it. In the build up to it, I'd sat through 50 minutes of Booker T talking about the women's revolution. As soon as we get to a match, they're like banging a commercial.
No.
But it is actually a really decent little match. I would recommend, you know, having a look at that little match.
I fancy it now. I feel like I'm part of the audience now because I didn't actually watch this match because it wasn't on the.
It's a really
the
nice. They're really nice end where Ryback is trying to like drag Kalisto out of the turnbuckle and he's on the second turnbuckle and he just wrenches the turnbuckle pad off and within moments of course he's been drop kicked into it and Kalisto does his finishing move and gets the pin. It's a really, really sort of simple, nice, it felt quite traditional as a match and I really liked it for that reason. I was like, oh, that is good. I was like, this is going to be a great WrestleMania. Then they have a 10 women tag match. Now, this was a Total Divas team of Brie Bella, Paige, Alicia Fox, Natalia, and Eva Marie, who is simply the worst wrestler of all time, versus Team Bad and Blonde, who are Anna Summer, Summer Rae, Tamina, Naomi, and Emma. And I only mention this because this match became the longest, the first women's match to ever break the 10-minute mark
right.
at a WrestleMania.
Okay.
10 minutes.
Jeez.
Never had a 10-minute long
Amazing.
Women's match at WrestleMania. It does not have that record for very much longer because obviously in the main part of the card, you have Charlotte, Sasha Banks, and Becky Lynch going much longer. At this point, Nikki Bella is out with a neck injury, and she comes in at the end of the match to sort of celebrate at the end.
Mm.
And she's still wearing her little bikini sort of outfit, but she's got a big neck brace on. I think it's going weird kink.
That's a fetish.
It really
That's
is.
That's a dark fetish.
Yeah, latex bikini with a big, like, plastic, almost like the one you'd see on a Labrador, like a big collar. Really, really good. Lita, who you do see in the main event, in the main card, they actually sort of put her back on. She unveils the WWE Women's Championship.
Right.
There's a really sort of polite round of applause, but it's that sort of applause you get when you're sort of going, I don't know, like when like a relative has sort of gone, maybe I need to change the way I think about black people. And you go, yeah, that'd be great. And it's slightly like that with this.
Too late, yeah.
They're boasting about, you know, it's the first WWE Women's Championship. Mm. At the time, people
sorry, what
were,
was the Divas shit before? Because I'm fairly certain I won a few times. You know,
yeah.
if you're a female wrestler in that, you'd be like, that's annoying.
No, your thing was just stupid.
Shit.
It's like
just
unicorns and fucking glitter. That's color. What it was.
It was Crayola fun pen.
Yeah. There was actually a WWF women's title
right.
that had been superseded by the Divas belt.
Mm.
But they, because of the change of the E, they were able to go, this is the first one.
Oh, okay.
I would have said, we're going to bring it
reintroduce,
back. Because
yeah.
then it makes it look like this. You haven't waited until 2005 to go, we've got a women's belt. Just nuts. Absolutely nuts. And then there's a quick little match with Dudley Boyz and the Usos. Mm. I really like WrestleMania to bring back people from previous generations.
Mm.
I think it's a nice little treat for the fans.
Mm.
I think it's nice for those guys to be seen on the big stage. It's a nostalgia pop is always really good. They're good in this, the Dudleys. I would not have guessed they were still in WWE at this point. I know they only had a short
yeah.
run. But they are pretty good. Bubba Dudley does a slam on one of the Usos. And it really, really fucking looks. I've never seen a slam actually look like it works.
Yeah.
I think there's about eight in history. And that's one of them, just in the middle of this little match that you go, God, that must. Actually, thinking about it, it's horrible. You pick someone up and you're just like, now you're on
Don't
your back.
You're like, oh. That's, yeah, I wouldn't like that done to me.
No, not at
I'm
all.
I'm just going to stop watching this.
Not at all.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this
yeah.
shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
and on my way around to Duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Join me, Melissa Reddy, and listen to my brand new podcast, Between the Lines. I'll be speaking to the biggest names in football about the captivating, behind-the-scenes stories fans want to hear. From major talking points to untold anecdotes, you'll hear from some of football's leading stars as well as those working in the shadows. In our first episode, I spoke to former Spurs manager Maurizio Pochettino about that Amazon documentary.
We feel responsible because it was very difficult to say yes to open the door to Amazon. Only we watch with Jesus the 25 minutes first, because it was until we left the club.
And on our latest episode, I investigate how prevalent and damaging social media abuse is in football.
And I was like taking all this negativity onto myself, and I did. I kind of lost myself and my personality because I knew everything that was going on around it. And it's not until I actually got to a stage where I thought, I can't take this anymore. It is becoming too much for me, that I spoke out about it.
Craving football insight? Well, look no further. Listen to Between the Lines with me, Melissa Reddy, via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
This was a Stakhanov production.
So I'd watched that and I was like, this is going to be fun.
This is going to be okay, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Everyone knows what to do wrong. Because what we're entering here, Pete, is what I like to call the era of chaos.
Yes.
Okay? And this WrestleMania is the absolute sort of first time you suddenly realise that the WWE is slightly out of control. And what's beginning to happen is we've got this thing where matches are changing. No one's being told what's going on. Mm. People are being thrown together.
Yeah.
There are no sort of build during the months beforehand.
Yeah.
We're losing direction. There are mental decisions as to who wins and who loses in these, which don't make any sense whatsoever. Yeah. And you've also got a bit of bad luck for WWE. So every single person who won a belt at the previous WrestleMania is injured and can't be on this card.
Yeah.
So this is the first time that Randy Orton and John Cena haven't been on WrestleMania since WrestleMania 19.
Right.
They're both out injured. Bray Wyatt is injured. Neville, Cesaro, Luke Harper, Daniel Bryan, who has retired with his injuries, and Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
So they've lost this huge amount of star power.
Yeah.
It does show you how many big stars they had. But at the same time, all the plans have gone out the window. And so they're trying to work out what to do. Now, the card that they wanted to do is very different from the card they ended up with. Originally from last year, they were planning for Triple H versus The Rock. And that did not happen, obviously. Mm. There was also talk that this year would have been Lesnar versus Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Right.
So Austin had been talking about coming back. He'd mentioned it on his podcast. They'd had Paul Heyman as a guest. He began promoting the match. Mm. They felt the WWE, and it's all very cagey as to what happened here, but it seemed to be suggested that the WWE were really annoyed that Austin had over-egged this and everyone was talking about this match when they hadn't got it together at that
point. Right, okay.
And so there has been rumour that what they did was they said to Austin, the match is off because you've been unprofessional. I don't think that would happen for a fucking second because I think there was money to be made.
Yeah, exactly.
The other match that was planned for this was John Cena versus Hulk Hogan.
Right.
And Hogan himself, of course.
That makes me giggle.
Of course. His terrible racist language that was recorded in a sex tape from a few years ago, it came out while the trial was going on.
Right.
That he'd used terrible racial epithets. And so WWE were like, well, we're not going to use him. And then John Cena gets injured anyway.
for a year or two.
And Dean Ambrose would have been taking on Chris Jericho. So there's all these sorts of ideas that are in place and everything just goes
just
to shit.
Right.
Absolutely to shit. There were also problems with, once they basically got the card together, Vince McMahon wanted the main event to be Undertaker versus Shane McMahon in the Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Triple H, the only other man really with sort of booking sway, he was very keen for there to be another match that was the main event, which was his match.
And they've learned nothing because this has happened so many times. This has happened so many times.
Yeah.
It's an unlovable. Has he ever been in a main event that anyone's enjoyed? I can't remember one.
WrestleMania 20, the triple threat between Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and that is
a
banger.
Okay.
Yeah, that's really, really good. But then again, you're looking at that. That is 12 years ago.
Yes, and he's not the focus of that. Well, he's not necessarily the focus in this. In that
he shouldn't be the focus. The really annoying thing about this, of course, is Roman Reigns at this point is so unpopular with the sort of hardcore people who go and see WrestleMania that
he's
they are actually cheering for Triple H to win. And I'm sure Triple H must have still got it for another 10 years.
Still got it, mate. Still got it.
Oh, yes. There was also an attempt because this was Vince McMahon's 70th birthday. They wanted to bring back a load of legends. And they sort of failed at that.
Right.
The idea was they were going to pay tribute to him. The opening credits on this are fucking brilliant.
They're
really good.
Voiced
by Kelsey Grammer.
Right. Because there's like... It's like a video. There's a clip of Liberace in a beautiful velour tracksuit, which everyone enjoyed. And then we don't find out for another 20 minutes that it was voiced by Kelsey Grammer because they forget to tell you.
They do.
And they announce, oh yeah, by the way, you know that opening video package? This is like a match in.
Yeah.
That was voiced by Kelsey Grammer from Frasier.
Think how much they paid him to do it.
No!
And you watched it.
Probably less than you. Yeah. Probably about the same amount of money got for Money Plane with Edge.
I was very close to going back and I was thinking, if I go back, is it not going to be Kelsey Grammer? Is this just a cheap way of sort of like pretending and just thinking no one will go back? No one will go back.
Check.
Well, welcome to WrestleMania.
Is that Kelsey Grammer?
You're Chinese.
They also open up with America the Beautiful by a group called Fifth Harmony.
Fifth Harmony with Camille Cabello, who also said some racist things.
Did she?
She, I think we've spoken about, weirdly spoken about her on the, I think we've spoken about the sins of something you do when you're younger. She, as a 16, 17 year old, very obsessed with some quite racist stuff on her Tumblr.
Really?
A very millennial way to discredit yourself. I believe she's married or goes out with a Jonas brother, but she was very... goodness,
okay.
She was strong.
Was she?
She was strong on the old,
racist jokes. It's nice for a young lady to have a hobby.
It's nice. Tumblr and racism. Yeah. But yeah, no, interesting.
Fifth Harmony were like the American Little Mix. Except
American Girls are allowed, but a little bit later, I'd say, maybe.
Yeah. They came third in American Idol Series 2.
Gotta work. I think that's our song.
Is it?
Let your buddy go to work. That's all I've got.
They did not sing this well. It's a really poor performance.
It's a bit of a mess.
I didn't like that at all. Yeah. Very annoyed.
But during it, the performance, a man does hold up a flag no bigger than a dinner plate, which I very much enjoyed. Like too big to be a pocket square.
Yeah.
Too small to be an actual flag. I don't know what it's doing. It's so small.
Nice.
So small.
I did see as well, there was someone, certainly in the pre-show you saw it a lot, and I think you see it in the main card, someone holds up an ICW sign, which is a Scottish promotion.
Right.
Independent. Since basically their back catalogue has been bought by WWE, you can see it on the network. And I thought, I bet that felt like a rebellious act at the time. To go, ICW, and you're like, yeah, mate, what? Don't you worry. Everyone
You'll
sells
get yours,
out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every man's got his price.
Yeah. You might as well hold up a little sign that says WWE Network. Delightful. But I'm watching that opening credit sequence, I was like, I think that is the best opening credit sequence they've ever had at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It was really sort of, because I think it was Vince McMahon's 70th birthday, they were looking back on everything. And they were, it's just a really good one. I began thinking, God, it would be a really sort of interesting thing to go, can you put together the dream WrestleMania card of all of the best matches you've seen, but no duplication of stars? So if you had like Shawn Michaels Undertaker, you couldn't then have Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon ladder match.
Right.
I was like, how can you, you know, you'd have to do Austin Bret Hart.
Yeah, surely somebody must have like thought this out before and gamed out the whole of WrestleMania.
It's
down to us, really. It is
basically my idea, and they shouldn't have done that.
ICW.
Yeah, I was thinking it's exactly the sort of thing that if I was a tape trader, I would want to
would
do as a three-hour
like
tape.
Edit it together.
Yeah. And I know slightly it's like the best of WrestleMania, but you would watch it and you would go, that is banging, absolutely banging. I was thinking, I don't think there'd even be a Hulk Hogan match on there.
No, probably not. Well, if you only had like space for 10 matches,
yeah,
might be a dark match. Maybe.
Yeah, Andre versus Hogan dark yeah. match. That's I was trying to think whether Andre had any better matches than that, and I was a bit like, why am I even bothering to think of that? Of course, Andre's matches are all poor. Poor Andre.
Why is Big Daddy in this?
Match number one. Mm. It's a ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship. It's take a deep breath. Dolph Ziggler, Miz, Sami Zayn, Stardust, Sin Cara, Zack Ryder and Kevin Owens. Mm. Lot of people there.
Lot of people there. Sami Zayn with his excellent theme tune.
Yeah.
Oh, and it just gets better every time I hear that.
This takes place two nights after he had that Nakamura match.
Right.
And slightly, there's the thing of both Kevin Owens, who is the title holder, and Sami Zayn, both big in NXT. They're both now permanently in WWE. Mm. They are the two that the crowd are most excited by. Yep. They are the two who are the freshest. Yep. One's the champion. They've had a storied career outside of WWE feuding against each other, which they've acknowledged in NXT.
Yep.
Best friends, you know, former enemies. This is obviously Sami Zayn's moment, because after the Nakamura match, everyone in that place
is talking about Sami Zayn.
Yeah, everyone who went to NXT TakeOver is now at WrestleMania. Mm. That's the way, you know, the fans have worked. They're not going to do one and not the other.
Yeah.
So they are all there and they know full well that this night is Sami Zayn's night, because what is a better night to put him over than after that unbelievable performance? You can suddenly make a star. You can suddenly make a star. It could not be easier, Pete. It could not be easier. But what are we, Pete? We're in the age of chaos.
We're in the age of chaos. No, that's what people want us to do.
Yeah.
And also expect us to do. And also, well,
would they like us to
and
do.
Would like and, us to do. And, you
and
know.
Would, and would work.
Would work. It would make us money. But no. Put the Miz in a golden tabard and see him flail about for a bit.
Miz is amazing in this match. There are two things that are great about him. One is that he comes out every time he's in the ring doing that thing. It's like he's doing these ladder matches where it's only ever two people in the ring and then one gets rolls out and the other one comes in. Whenever Miz is in there, that stadium is just quiet. It's just, they are just like, meh. No, I have no reaction to this.
I have nothing.
Nothing
I have
at all.
Nothing.
And WWE saw that and they went, interesting. File that one away. What? There's one bit where Miz comes off the ladder and he's basically, they put the ladder together. So his legs aren't apart and it's being held on either side by two wrestlers. And Miz has climbed it like you would like a ladder that was straight up to a loft hatch.
Yes.
Right? And he's trying to get the belt.
Yeah, it's pulling out like
he's,
that.
He's really doing it.
Yeah.
And the ladder, they push over. And I don't know what it is, but Miz obviously, because he, I don't know, it must be unusual. It must be different going off a ladder that is open compared to a ladder that isn't.
Yeah.
But when Miz hits the floor, it's not like a nasty bump or anything. He lands there. He sort of doesn't move and he hits with such a thud.
Yeah, he doesn't bounce.
No. It's like if you had a corpse and you wrapped it in a blanket really tightly and then you just pushed it out of a third story window.
And you just
the
fascinated.
Noise it would make when it sort of landed flat. It would, like that.
Yeah.
And he's just still.
Yeah.
Oh, that looked shit. But it looked like it really hurt.
Really knocked the wind out of it. But of course, I mean, the whole kind of match ends with Miz being at the top of the ladder and boasting. Mm. Like, looking really pleased that he's on top of the ladder.
Yeah.
But you know what happens? They're not going to give Miz it.
No, but they're trolling. They're going, what's the thing that these people wouldn't want to happen?
Mm.
They wouldn't want this particular one of our superstar to win it because they hate him.
Yes.
So it's really important that we make it look he's going to win. And they're hoping for a reaction, but the reaction they just get is sort of like, ugh. You know,
like,
you don't want to engender that reaction.
Oh, dear. So Stardust is here, and I keep on expecting him to have left by now. He's back, and I'm like, why is he still doing this?
This is 2 years later than I thought he'd gone.
No, you said
and he comes back, and I'm just like, is he still here? He comes out, he brings out his Dusty Rhodes tribute.
Spotty ladder.
Polka-dotted ladder.
Yeah.
I like that. Obviously, it's a tribute to Dusty, which is...
Who died the year before, I think.
Yeah, that's right. And I liked it because I thought... It's almost like, you know, Cody has been through his father's probate and they've come out the other side ladder. And he's gone round and they've gone, we've got to clear the garage. And all of Dusty Rhodes' stuff is polka dotted.
He's just got a lot of polka dots. There's none of these things are polka dots. He just owns a lot of polka dots. It's like, well, how will I know that I won this in the settlement?
Yeah.
Like, I'll have to polka dot it.
There is that thing. I can't take all these polka dots back separately because there's two. We just stick them on the stuff that we want and we'll take them off later. I'm going to take it to WrestleMania, see if they can make use of it. He's very good in this, Stardust. You begin to, I think, you know, again, having watched a bit of this at the time, not just this WrestleMania, but the stuff around it, I certainly felt like he wasn't doing anything. And you see him in these yearly snapshots, and like at WrestleMania, you sort of go, God, he's really good. And it's amazing that no one at the time really just went, actually, we should be doing something with this guy.
Yeah, he's pesky.
He is spunky.
Yeah, he's a spunky, pesky boy.
Spunky. Spunky.
Kevin Owens, I don't really, have I seen much of him? Like,
no, I don't think you've seen any of Kevin Owens. Long time independent wrestler, right. Canadian, success everywhere he went. Mm. Always there was a feeling that he would never be a WWE star. I mean, he doesn't have the physique, he doesn't have the look.
He looks like he owns a few ATVs.
He does, yeah. Like he owns a few of those. He's just got that look of, I definitely see plumbers and decorators around who you would go, could go for Halloween as Kevin Owens, and all you'd have to do is put on a black t-shirt.
Well, when Zayn and Owen are on top of the ladder together, they both look like child actors who've fallen on hard times. They both look a bit chunkers.
Sami Zayn has a look of Dustin Diamond from Saved by the Bell, doesn't he? Kevin Owens, look, a really, really good performer, and one of those guys who I think there was some surprise when they signed him to NXT.
It was a very non-WWE kind of decision.
It really was, yeah. And almost immediately, they made him the NXT champion, which again seemed a complete surprise. By all accounts, he is one of the few people that Vince McMahon really gets on with. Mm. And I think there's a funny thing. Vince McMahon, one of the things he's proved over the years is he doesn't like people who are professional and polite. What he likes is people who give him aggro and stand up to him.
Yes.
And I think Kevin Owens is pretty much, he stood up to him because he refused to come to work as well during the coronavirus pandemic. Okay. He said it wasn't safe and he was staying home. I think his wife's grandfather had died of COVID and he was like, I'm not coming in. It's an unsafe working environment. Mm. And Vince McMahon, this is in the summer, had reached out to him and said, what do I need to do to get you back? And he went, well, here are the things you need to put in place. You know, we need to have temperature tests. We need to have all this. And Vince McMahon said, okay, we'll do it, you know. Mm. And I think he liked the fact that Kevin Owens goes, I'm not coming to work. There's a story about someone, and I forget who it is. It might be someone like Curtis Axel. But Vince McMahon was walking through the dressing room, and he sort of, as he was walking, just kicked Curtis Axel's feet.
Yeah.
And Curtis Axel sort of thought, oh, gosh, you know, I'm in the way. And Vince McMahon came back and did it again. He went, kick. And Curtis Axel went, oh, I'm really sorry. And Vince just went, you're not sorry. He said, don't be sorry. He said, I've been kicking your feet. You should stand up for yourself. So I think he likes people who are difficult. And I think in some ways, Kevin Owens, who is a great performer, I think he obviously kind of goes, I didn't think I'd like him. And yet now he's being good. And in that way, in some way, he is challenging my perception. And therefore, I like him. But Kevin Owens, I mean, a huge star now. Yeah. I mean, probably, you know, out of all the guys in this match in WWE, the few of them who are remaining, Kevin Owens is the biggest star.
Fair doing.
And he hasn't really changed his look, persona, or image, which is, good for him.
Fair.
Sin Cara is in here. This is the new Sin Cara, the second Sin Cara.
Right.
He can actually do stuff without hurting himself. He does some brilliant little bits in here.
There's he looks amazing.
Comes off a ladder and he bounces off the top rope and does a somersault onto people below. And it's just, that's proper WrestleMania stuff.
Well, yeah, because it's really hard to do anything on the rope.
Yeah,
I mean, Undertaker looks like he's been taken to a dance when he tries to walk down it.
Yeah.
And that was like 10 years ago. But like, yeah, doing landing on it, planting both your feet and not stacking it. My God.
Yeah, like, and like the pressure of something like that, because you know.
It's WrestleMania, and you've not done that many.
No one will have performed to this many people as well.
No.
And the second that you're coming off that ladder and you can see the rope and you go, I've got to land on that, you're thinking to yourself, 101,000 people. If I just skid, this is going to be the worst thing that's ever happened to me. If I hit it, this is going to be something I think about quite a lot, you know, during sex. What are you thinking of? I'm thinking, let me tell you, of the time
I slipped off the rope and landed on the side of the ring.
Oh, it was magic. He does a couple of great bits as well. They push a ladder over and Sin Cara's on it and he sort of falls off into a crossbody onto Stardust, who's on the ladder. And that
never doesn't happen.
No.
In a ladder match. Everyone gets snapped in half at some point.
Yeah. Oh, it's got to happen.
Who's going to do it this time?
Quite a lot of lying around in these, lying around waiting. And I think actually it works better on telly because you don't see that.
Mm.
But I think live, you'll be
you're
like,
going, why is this? He's just lying down that ladder for ages.
Make sure the camera's focused on that bit because I think in a couple of minutes that's going to be quite exciting. You know? A little bit strange. There is Zack Ryder in the match as well. And Zack Ryder is a guy who's signed to WWE for a long, long, long time by this stage. He came in as Edge's henchman, part of the Edgeheads, way back when. And he was one of those guys who they just didn't see particularly anything in. And he started, I think he was one of the first WWE people really to get himself over online.
Right.
So he started his own YouTube channel and he proclaimed himself the internet champion. And it became a running thing. He'd do lots of filming backstage. WWE liked it enough that then they said, oh, well, we should make this an official WWE thing. And he just never got the chance and opportunity really to go as far as he wanted. One of the things about Zack Ryder is he's a huge, huge wrestling fan. So he collects figures and he loves merchandise and stuff like that. And I think internally there must be a slight look of them going, he's mark. A mark. You're a big mark. But Ryder is what you notice in this is he had he's from New Jersey or Long Island, one of those places. I'm not sure if there's a difference, is there?
What's again, Long Island?
New Jersey.
New Jersey, Long Island. I don't know, like, where's the Hamptons?
The Hamptons.
The Hamptons bottom right, innit?
Yeah.
As the map, as the cartographers say. Bottom right. Bottom right, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if
I think it's definitely on Long Island is definitely a little island.
A little island.
It's right next to New York.
Right.
So it's but I don't know
is
where
it one of the five boroughs. I don't understand.
I know.
Manhattan. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I don't know if it's part is it part of Jersey? I don't know. I don't look. It doesn't. You look it up.
Doesn't mind. Look it up. You why you
come to this podcast to find out where things are? And if you do, tough fucking luck. But he sort of had this bro thing going on.
Right.
When again, WWE always lags behind popular culture. And by the time he was doing broski, that already seemed like something sort
quite
of
dated,
awful
right?
and yeah. rotten. And he had a catchphrase where he'd go, woo, woo, woo.
Yeah. Right? It's not, the more I hear it, the less I like it.
Oh, I know.
It's ruined.
It's not great.
Yeah, it's horrible.
The other thing is, of course, is when the fans, when he does stuff, the fans are going, woo, woo, woo. But when a lot of people do it, it sounds like booing.
Yes. Right?
Don't ever give yourself a catchphrase.
Sounds like booing.
Yeah, that right. I mean, you'd be like, "Woo, woo, oh, I did really well. Listen to them all. They're like, mate, they're booing you.
What is it? I mean, what is woo, woo, woo? It's woo, woo, woo,
woo, woo, woo.
It sounds like a ringtone. Woo, woo, woo.
I mean, between you and me, Pete, I've always found him a very annoying character.
But he is very popular and respected, so I have to.
Yeah, this is
woo,
this
woo,
is,
woo.
Yeah, woo. It's a bit like
current WWE star who the only person who would possibly listen to this podcast is him.
Yeah,
woo, woo, woo.
True. Really, I think it's really good. But it is like having a catchphrase that if it sounds like something negative, it would be like. Like having, you know, you're it. Ah.
Yeah.
everyone chanting it. Oh, that we're firing you. What? But Junkyard Dog always used to have it when people used to go, ooh.
Yeah.
That would sound like boo.
Yeah. Boo. But no one would ever boo Junkyard Dog because that would be a weird thing to do. You would have to be committed if you ever tried to do that.
That's true. And because, Pete, this is part of the. Era of chaos. They decide rather than go for the obvious and sensible and the thing the crowd want, which is Sami Zayn to win the belt, or to have Sami Zayn pushed off the top and Kevin Owens retain it and therefore become a bigger star because he is a very new WWE face. They decide that Zack Ryder will win it on a complete fluke. He climbs up and he gets to pluck it off. He obviously this was a huge thing for him, and that is sweet. I'd rather he won it than Miz had it for the 19th time and, you know, just sort of like, oh, here we go, carry this around now. Zack Ryder is obviously absolutely made up. And I should think what he thought about it was, well, this has changed everything now.
Right, okay. It didn't.
Do you know when he lost the belt?
Was it the next day?
He lost the title the next night.
Oh, Mark.
On Raw to the Miz.
What was Lord.
It was just an attempt to give a WrestleMania moment. And
they keep talking about this. It's not a WrestleMania moment if they don't retain it.
No.
It's a snapshot in history, but you have to give it the respect that history has awarded it so that if you lose it the next day, that's a dusty finish for me. It's bullshit.
I totally agree. If you lose it the next day, the other thing you're saying is, forget that.
Yeah.
What does it fucking matter? Well, it's just, you know, he slipped on a banana peel.
Yeah.
Normal order restored now. It's so heartbreaking. I mean, what's really sweet about that is Zack Ryder's dad jumps the barricade and he runs in and hugs his son. Now, Zack Ryder, I mean, you know, if you're a wrestler, do you really want your daddy running into the ring to give his sonny a great big hug? You're a bit like,
in
actually,
a vest.
This is an iconic moment for me.
Yeah, why do I need
dad's ear?
Dad's ear.
And his dad's wearing a hat, and his dad takes the hat off, and his dad, just caught up in the moment, goes, what can I do with this hat? I'll put it on my son. Right? This horrible, dirty brown leather hat. And Zack Ryder whips that shit off as quickly as anything I've ever seen. It's the quickest move in WrestleMania. He's just like, boom, like that. And you can see him just think, it's ruined. ruined.
I've upset my dad.
Yeah, where's my iconic sort of Austin on the turnbuckle picture? Instead, it's him pulling off a hat and going, Dad!
You ruined all of this.
I've only got this for 23 hours.
Have you seen this? The Miz is already making designs and adjustments to the belt. Have you seen what his dad's up to? His dad's actually a professional bodybuilder.
Oh, my God.
So
Jesus Christ.
62 years old, competing in a bodybuilding show this past weekend. His hard work and dedication is inspiring. And that was last year. His dad is absolutely ripped.
I mean, you
very
know,
brown.
They seem a strange but nice group of people. But I mean, you know, I do feel for him because, again, it's that sort of thing about, as you say, you know, it doesn't count. It's like a dusty finish. And when you watch that, you, instead of going, God, that was the great crowning achievement for him and how excited he must have been. Instead, you look at it and you just go, oh, this is all meaningless. It's all meaningless. This is all stupid. Oh, I bet he felt like a right pranit the next day.
What a start to a show, though. What a start to a show.
Oh, could not be beat, could it?
We had, before we chip off, I must say there was a, in that little kind of like compendium of highlights of WrestleMania's past, there was a bloke dressed in kind of the Warriors tassels.
Oh, yeah.
Like
shaking
the ring and stuff.
They've got
I wonder who that wrestler was.
Yeah.
Presumably they used some kind of developmental talent. Someone with big arms.
I should think so, yeah. Because they recreate some of the sort of like Shawn Michaels doing the super kick sort of thing. Mm. They used that later in Dark Side of the Ring to sort of, because they didn't have a huge amount of footage. And I think WWE by that point had stopped letting them have it. But they had, you know, lots of recreations. And those were done by sort of, you know, name indie wrestlers.
Right,
so
okay.
I should imagine it's just some lads in the back, isn't it?
Some lads from the back.
It's strange. I also looked at it and I thought, well, they had to remake those tights and things.
Yes.
They should do that.
Why don't they do?
They really should. Would I buy a pair of exactly the same Shawn Michaels WrestleMania 12 tights, Pete? We'll only know if they put them on.
Would I buy some Ravishing Rick Rude shorts with Junkyard Dog's face on them? Yes, I would.
I would also buy a pair of Junkyard Dog's tights with Ravishing Rick Rude's handprint over one bum cheek. I'd like to mash together. You know those collabs that people do?
Yeah.
And it's always like brand with an X and then the designer.
Mm.
I want to see Junkyard Dog X Ravishing
Rick Rude.
I'm going to start mashing them together like mutants. Oh, there's another action figure line for Zack Ryder to pick up.
Oh dear. Well, woo woo woo, Mark.
Woo woo woo, Pete.
We'll be back next week with some more wrestling. Maybe do check out the Patreon, the newsletter, the extra shows. You get an extra show every week, you get a newsletter, and you can listen to the entirety of this show, all however many episodes you're going to get, probably about seven, knowing how this fucking show's gone, over on the Patreon. You can listen to that right now if you fancy it, patreon.com/wrestle me. Check us out.
A little bit of bad news, Pete. You're not going to be on the next show.
Oh,
unfortunately,
no.
It's the Miz.
Oh, no.
Wrestle me, Pete.
Wrestle me, Mark.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.